various aspects of death. Various aspects of death. And I'll read here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Aspects of the state of death. There is a spiritual death and a physical death and an eternal death. And here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he speaks of those that are dead in trespasses and in sins. The apostle says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Now, he's talking about a spiritual death here. A spiritual death occurs when one is separated from the Spirit of God. Those that are dead in trespasses and in sins are separated from the Spirit of God. Physical death comes about or occurs when one is separated from the body. Like many today whose body lies in the funeral parlor, stone cold dead in the marketplace, because the spirit has been separated from the body. And then there is eternal death, which is the separation of the whole person, body and soul, from the love and the grace of Almighty God. And for this reason, the second death, or eternal death, is called the second death. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and verse 18, I think. Well, that's not the place I want, but anyhow, I just read here, in that latter part of the book of Revelation, of those that die the second death. That's the separation of the body of soul, and it calls it an eternal death. We're all represented by Adam. We've, many times as I've mentioned that and read about that and talked about the federal head of all men, of all human flesh, is Adam, and what Adam did, we were affected by it. And I've told you many times that when Adam, before he died, spiritually, he represented every human being that was and that is, and those that are yet to come. He represented them. And what he did, become part of us and affected us. The effect of his sinning brought about a spiritual death. As a matter of fact, brought about a physical death, because man would not have died had he not sinned. Sin is the reason for death. I told you the story before about, I preached at a funeral one time and talked about that, and a fellow who was at least 10 years older than me at the time came to me after the service, after we went to the graveyard, had the committal of the body of this one whose funeral I had just eulogized, came to me and he said, "You know," he said, "I've learned something here this morning." He said, "I never knew why men died." He thought that the reason that men died was because of ill health. Well, that is one of the reasons, but the real reason why is because of sin. Because sin entered in. And where sin is, there's death. So all men die in Adam. But the very second that Adam sinned and violated the command of God and the character of God, God had forbid Adam and Eve from eating of the tree in the midst of the garden. All the other trees in the Garden of Eden was available to their use for food and nourishment and comfort and strength and health. And he said, "I'll put you here to tend this garden, partake of it, all of it, but the tree here in the midst of the garden," he said, "don't eat of the fruit thereof." But he said, "If you eat of the fruit thereof, you're going to die." Now, the very moment, the very second that Adam sinned, he died spiritually. And when he died spiritually, we died spiritually, in that he was our federal head, our representative. He was the representative man. And God had sent him, created him out of the dust of the earth. But the very moment that Adam disobeyed God, that strict command of God that you don't you eat of that fruit, didn't give him too much reason, just told him he couldn't have it. And the very moment, the very second he did, he partook of that fruit, took that first bite or that first taste, he died spiritually. And his body became subject to the elements of death, all of them. Corruption was one of them. Time and age and mortality. Now, it took a while. It took some time now. But at last, the elements of death overcome old Adam and killed Adam's body. Adam was 930 years old when he died. So it took a while for the elements of death to bring about the total demise of Adam's body. He died when he was 930 years old. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "And he died, and he died." And in the genealogies of all those in Old Testament times that God deemed important to set forth the seed from family to family, after every one of them down there. It says, and he died, and he died, and he died, which are the elements of death. And he died. Physical death. Physical death. And if Adam was not saved before his body died, he entered into a state of eternal death. And I'm not saying that Adam was not saved. I believe that he was. I believe the pictures of the type of the Savior, type of what was needed, was certainly pictured in that third and fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, where God Himself took a lamb and the firstling of the flock, and the lamb being innocent, and killed the lamb, shed the blood of the lamb, and took the skin or the coat, the wool of the lamb, and fashioned a coat and put it on Adam and Eve. And I think that Adam was saved. But if he was not saved, if he was not saved before his body died, then he entered into a state of eternal death, which is the second death. Now, when we talk about regeneration, which every soul who God saves here in time is regenerated. He's naturally, because of sin, he's dead in trespasses and in sin. Dead spiritually. He's got physical life, but he hadn't got any spiritual life. And in this third chapter of the book of John, we have some insights to the mystery of regeneration. There was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. And he's described in the Holy Word as a ruler of the Jews. He was a chief man of the Jews. And he certainly was exposed to the Word of God, at least to the Old Testament, that speaks the truth concerning God and what God requires. But anyhow, he was a ruler of the Jews, and somehow, some way, some place, he became a concern about the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spake. And so he was so concerned that he sought an audience with the Lord Jesus. And he said unto the Lord Jesus, he called him Rabbi. So we know that there was, he had some thoughts pertaining to the matters of religion as we know religion today. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Pretty sure of that, he said. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is, a man must be regenerated. He must be quickened from his dead state. And this regeneration happens when the Spirit of God takes up his residence in a man's soul. That's the beginning of regeneration. It is a necessity. It is a must. If a man is not regenerated, and if the Spirit of God never takes residence in his soul, he's a gone Jesse. He'll die without hope. So regeneration then happens, takes place when the Spirit of God takes up residence in his soul. And that Spirit of God brings life and immortality to that dead sinner. It is the act of a sovereign God. Only God himself can regenerate, quicken, and bring immortality to the dead sinner. Now, when he does that, the mind, a man's mind, his intelligence is enlightened to desire and to crave and to understand the things of the Spirit. When that happens, he has this desire. There's a craving within him, a desire within him to understand the things of God. I refer to myself not as if there is anything different in my experience and conversion than yours. And I'm not setting myself up as one that can give forth a perfect illustration by way of experience. I'm saved like you're saved by the grace of God. If I've been regenerated, it's because God has quickened me, given me light. And when He did, there was a craving in my soul to know more things concerning God. When God quickened me, deposited His Spirit in my soul, gave me life, and I wanted to understand. And I felt like later on that I wanted to tell this story. I desired information. A little bit like the commentator comes on the radio two or three times every day. And he begins his commentary of the news by saying, or by talking about a story. And then he goes on, and at the end of his comments, he said, and this is the rest of the story. It's a little bit like that with me. I had heard some things, but I wanted to hear the rest of the story. So I looked for a place or a person who could tell me the rest of the story. So I finally wound up there in Brother Walker's school in Lexington. Martha and I and three boys. And I certainly was lost in the atmosphere of 100 and some other men in these classes. I was lost in that atmosphere. But I had this yearning. I had a deep desire to know the rest of the story about the Lord Jesus Christ. And a young fella came to me. I was in my 20s. And this boy was about 20. I was a few years older. But he came to me and asked me if God had called me to preach. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, what are you doing down here? I said, I'm looking for information. That's what I told him. I said, I'm looking for information. I desire to know something about this man. I want to know what the rest of the story is. And so he kind of understood what I was talking about, and he said, I believe you'll be able to find out what the rest of the story is if you'll stay with them. So, when the Spirit brings life and immortality to the dead sinner, his mind is enlightened to desire and to crave and to understand the things of the Spirit. The heart desires to know the Lord and to have fellowship with Him. Over here in the book of 1 John is a scripture that speaks of that. 1 John chapter 1 and 3 and 4. It says, well, let me read the second verse too. It says, for the life was manifested, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. And that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be filled. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. I said that in the effect of this quickening, this regeneration, there is a desire in the heart to know the Lord and to have fellowship with Him. There's another portion of Scripture that I want to read to you in the book of 1 Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it is. Verses 9-14. Listen to this. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So the heart desires and craves after the things of God, which is the effect of regeneration. Now, just exactly how the Spirit regenerates the soul, God the Spirit in regeneration, just exactly now and precisely how He does this remains a great mystery. No one, the greatest Bible scholar at any time and any place, past or present, and even in the future, cannot completely and exactly and precisely know how God quickens a dead sinner. It's a great mystery. And our Lord told that to Nicodemus here in this third chapter of the book of John. Let me make a comment or two on it. John chapter 3. In that third verse, Nicodemus said, "No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, who had some desirous craving after knowledge, I guess, because he came to him and he recognized that he was different from other men. He said, "You must be a teacher that come from God, because no man, no mortal man, can do what you've done except God be with him." But he didn't know that he was talking to God. He was talking to God manifest in the flesh. He didn't know that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be regenerated, except a man be born again, except a man be quickened, he cannot see the kingdom of God, much less understand it." He can't see it. Well, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old?" So you can see that he doesn't understand. He's like everybody else. It remains a great mystery how God exactly and precisely quickens and regenerates a man. What really transpires when he has the Spirit of God deposited in his soul. And our Lord said, "How can a man be born?" Or Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Evidently, Nicodemus was up in years, maybe 35, maybe 40, maybe 50. He was an old man. He thought he was an old man. "How can a man be born when he's old?" I said, "Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Is that how it takes place?" Now remember, Jesus said this is a necessity. This has got to take place. Something's got to happen here. A man's got to be born again. He can't see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He doesn't understand anything about the kingdom of God. He doesn't understand anything about God until he's born again. Well, how can that be? Do I have to go back and enter into my mother's womb the second time and be born? Jesus answered. Now here he's talking about this great mystery, see. No man knows. There may be some say they know, Actually, no man knows this great mystery precisely of what takes place when a man's quickened, when he's regenerated. There are some effects of it, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So there are some effects of regeneration. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God." He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's the first birth. That which is born, natural birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Now he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wishes, where it wants to. And thou hearest the sound thereof. But you cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, our Lord here tells Nicodemus. He says the wind blows where it wants to. The wind. It goes where it wants to go. Where it desires to go, where it wishes to go. The wind is sovereign, he said, and it goes where it wants to go, Nicodemus. And he said, you hear the sound of it, you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where that wind comes from. And you don't know where that wind's going. Now, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can these things be? After all, we don't fully understand the natural birth, do we? We don't understand that. How can we comprehend the work of God in regeneration if we cannot comprehend the natural birth? How can we comprehend it?" Now, the primary effect of quickening, regeneration, cannot be fully understood in terms of how one passes from death unto life. But much can be learned from it. Can't understand it in its fullness. That we're passed from death unto life. And that's what happens, you see, when a man is regenerated. You who were dead in trespasses and in sins, hath he quickened. You were dead, but he has regenerated you. We can learn much from this. We cannot understand it fully, but we can learn much from the effects of this great work of regeneration. Now, our Lord compared the moving of the Spirit in regeneration to the wind. We know that we do not actually see the wind itself. We hear the wind, but we don't see the wind. But we know it's the wind by the effects of the wind. We know that and understand that. The effects of the wind is that, where I live anyhow, big trees are within 25 feet in the back of our house. There is trees there that two men, I don't think, can reach around. Monstrous red oak trees. And when the wind blows, the leaves begin to flap and to move. And the tree begins to sway. And a lot of times, and most of the time, the effect of that wind brings about limbs hitting the side and the roof of our house. So the trees sway from side to side, and the leaves flap up and down, and we're made to know by an eerie sound that the wind is present. We understand that. Now, we understand it by the effects of the wind. Now the moving of the Spirit produces certain spiritual effects. When we are made spiritually alive, quickened and regenerated, there are certain spiritual effects that are manifest in us. You say, well, what are these spiritual effects? Well, since the Lord used this expression or this factual truth concerning the wind in regard to the natural birth, then we will too. A baby, a child when it's born, cries. As a matter of fact, I've never been in the room, delivery room, when children are born. I wasn't there when my children were born, my boys, my daughter. Wasn't there with Martha. I stayed on the outside and sat out there and waited. But they tell me that there is many nowadays, anyhow, who go to the bedside of their wife as she's given birth. And they tend to think that they're helping out. Whether they are or not, I don't know. Whether the mother or the wife appreciates it, I don't know. I've had no experience in that. But I do know that when the baby's born, that the baby cries. As a matter of fact, I've seen pictures, whether this is true or not, I don't know. But I've seen pictures where the doctor or the nurse picks up the baby and smacks its little rear in order to bring about that cry. Is that right, Pat? You're a doctor. You know those things. The effects of the newborn child, that it cries. It cries. And some of them cries for 2 or 3 years later. Some of them cries all the time. But they all cry. That's what I'm saying. That's the point that I'm trying to make, is that the newly born child cries. And another effect of that newborn child is that it's hungry. And it needs comfort. And it needs a whole lot of care. And the child of God, one who's been quickened by the Spirit, one whom our Lord referred to in this analogy of the natural birth, about the wind blowing, where it listeth, and so forth. When a man is born of the Spirit of God, regenerated by God's Spirit, if he's born again, the effect of it is that he begins to cry unto the Lord. I think that means he begins to pray unto the Lord. Paul, in one place, wrote, said this: "For whomsoever shall call upon the name of the I think that when a man's quickened by the Spirit, he cries from the heart unto the Lord. And to pray unto the Lord and to cry unto the Lord is primarily to confess one's sins unto God. To cry unto the Lord is to ask for mercy. To plead with him for forgiveness on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ as his covenant head. When the Spirit moves upon a lost, dead sinner, he or she begins to cry out unto the Lord. And also, when a child is born, it becomes hungry. Likewise, one born of the Spirit becomes hungry and thirsty after the things of God. Just as a newborn child feeds upon its mother's milk. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, I think it is. And verse 13. Verse 12 will give you the context here. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teacheth you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A babe, a newly child, a newborn child desires the milk of the mother's breast as a baby. But it says strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The milk of the Word that begotten child of God desires. Desires his mother's milk. And the effect of regeneration: we're hungry and thirsty, and we thirst and hunger for the Word of God. A desire. It's a inbuilt desire of God that flows into our soul when we are regenerated and given life, being resurrected from that dead state. We cry unto God. as the newborn baby needs comfort and care and fellowship of its family, even the newborn child of God craves the comfort and care of he or she's Heavenly Father. Also, and finally, the healthy newborn child will grow. A child that does not grow in body and in mind has something seriously wrong with that child. In the same way, he or she, which is born of the Spirit, will grow spiritually like the newborn baby that longs for the pure milk of the Word. Longs for it. He grows, the Bible says, in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the effects of the new birth. Now, as I said, we may not understand just how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin and revealing the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word and bringing faith to his soul. We don't fully understand all that. But we know when God is working by His Spirit, because this individual whom God is working with, his experience is like the wind. He doesn't know where the wind's coming from, and he doesn't know where the wind's going, but he can be sure of the effects of that wind because he sees the trees. Now, a newborn child of God is not born with a perfect, mature understanding that all that took place. I didn't know anything the day I was born. I didn't know my mother, or I didn't know my father. The first day I was born, or the second day, or the third day, or the fourth day, or the fifth day, and on and on and on. It was a long time before I knew. But I knew I had life. I had life. Where I come from, I don't know, and how it come about, I didn't know. That's the way it is with a child of God. When the Spirit quickens him, he doesn't know exactly, but he knows that he has been made a new creature because he desires after the things of God. He wants more and more information. Where he will derive from this information a growth, a spiritual growth, might become a man, stand on his two hind legs. He's not nourishing his mother's breast constantly for milk. He finally is weaned from that milk. And so is the newly born child of God. He grows in the love and the mercy and the pity of God. And he desires to hear of the love of God in Christ. And he'll use every means, every avenue of hearing and receiving that. And our Lord said, passage I read to you in, was it chapter 5? Where it said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, God gives him ears to hear when he quickens him." He gives him itching ears. He wants to hear. He wants to find out. He wants to have knowledge. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, says he, hath everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, they'll live, they'll have life, and they'll desire to know more. They'll desire to have their empty bucket filled with the knowledge. They'll desire to know who God is. And they'll find out, they'll be taught by God, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And they'll come to find out who saved them. And they'll come to find out why God saved them. They'll find out that was not because of anything good in them. They'll find out that there was no reason in themselves whereby God would look in their direction. They'll draw this conclusion from the teaching of the Spirit, that it was of God and God only who came where they were and quickened them by His Spirit and given them life from the dead, and that it was through the Lord Jesus Christ whom God has sent. It was through Him and Him alone, Him only, that supplied their needs and necessities as a sinner to stand them in good stead. To be regenerated is the sovereign act of God. You can't bring it about. But the effects of it can be seen, like the effects of the wind can be seen. And the effects of it is that you desire after God. If I ever meet a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has an unquenching desire after God, well, I know right then that he's been quickened by the Spirit of God. Because a dead man can't hear. He can't see. He can't smell. He cannot walk. And he cannot talk. A dead man. It's only a man that has life that can hear. You see, when a man's born again, he's born by the Spirit of God, and the effect of him being born again is the cause whereby he hears. If he's not born again, he can't hear because he's still dead. But if he has a desire to hear from God, desire to know who God is, desire to know how God saves him, then he's been resurrected from the dead. But those that are still dead in trespasses and in sins, they can't hear. They can't hear the voice of God. You've got to have life. And that's a little bit about regeneration. It's a must. You can't born yourself again. God must do that. Nicodemus said, "Well, do I have to go back in my mother's womb the second time to be born again?" except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God, much less enter in. Can't even see it, don't know anything about it. Let's stand. We'll meet again this evening.